All right, good morning. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Come on, let's stand to your feet. Let's turn our attention to God. Praise Him today. Here we go.
How much lost with a broken heart? You pick me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash, I am born again. Forever safe in the Savior's hands. You are more.
We're thankful that to be here together, worshiping in freedom, spirit, and truth. Lord, be glorified in our praise today. Amen.
Don't let your heart beat.
troubled. Hold your head up high and fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
Let the praise go up as the walls come.
Amen. Wow, what great singing this morning, Point Church. Let's continue in the spirit of worship today as we praise our God and respond to Him. He is so amazing. His love is so infinite. This God of creation, of this universe, loves you incredibly. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body drenched in tears, they laid Him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, silent still and all alone.
Come on, lift it up. About that, the moment where you and your Savior are face to face. And I hope that's your hope. I hope your hope is in Him. Your hope is in heaven. Your hope is in what's to come. Because if you're a child of the King, I'm telling you what, you don't want to miss this. Being with God, being with Jesus. If you're thinking, well, I don't know that I'm too excited about singing praises forevermore. Let me tell you, when you're there, you won't want anything else. But you know what? There is a lot more than just singing praises forevermore in heaven. And on the new earth when Jesus comes, I tell you what, He has a kingdom that He has promised, that He is preparing a place for you and me. Let's give Him the praise. Let's sing this together. Sing that again.
Praise God. Than this one. Hello, Point Church. How y'all doing? It's still okay, y'all. I hear you.
Hey,
How's it going?
Hey, what's today?
Today's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to y'all.
You beautiful moms. I tell you. Hey, middle schoolers, now's an opportunity for you guys to grow. And I know you guys are here today with your mom. So if you would, head on out with another mom, Wendy, back there. Have a great time and enjoy that. Hey, if someone's here for the first time, what do we ask of them?
Oh, so if you're new with us, welcome. So, so glad that you're here. I would love for you to take that communication card that's in your little packet there that you got when you came in. Fill it out, and then give it to us in the VIP table right as you're exiting. We have a special gift for you, but we absolutely want to meet you and say hello and connect with you today.
There you go. And also, that would start your three-point challenge. We say, hey, come check us out three times, pray, and listen, and see if this is where God is asking you to grow spiritually. And when you're done with that, come and see us at the Next Step table, and we'll get you another free gift. Hey, also on that communication card, if they flip that thing over, what can they do with that?
They can put their prayer requests.
What do we do with it?
We pray for them.
She's so good. Look
Thank
at this.
Thank you.
Yeah, give us a chance to get to know you. And you have to write something down with an anticipation that God will answer that prayer. And just drop that in the offering bucket at the end of service so we can pray for you. Hey, today is May, Mother's Day, which means we have another focus on the fourth this month, which is gloves. Gently used and new baseball gloves so for our at-risk youth in the inner city. Bring those in and we'll do some things this summer with those gloves. So you're filling it up. Keep bringing them on in.
If you were one of the 200 that gave your heart and life over to Christ that we saw at Easter, I want to challenge you to come and take the next step of obedience and come get baptized on the 19th. You can put that down in your card as well, and then we do want to speak with you and encourage you and exciting congratulate you after service today as well. So mark that down. Give it to us there at the welcome desk.
There you go. Hey, also, another date to mark down on the calendar is June 1st. It's a Saturday from 9 to 12. We're going to have a spring green up. Green up, what? We're going to go ahead and do some landscaping. No one laughed. Anything.
No, it's so fine. Green up.
That fell
hashtag.
Through.
Hashtag. We just need a hashtag in, and
okay,
they'll get
okay,
it.
Okay, hashtag. That's cool. But if you want to get involved in that landscaping project that we have, put flowers. Why am I saying the word flowers? You should be saying the word flowers.
Flowers.
There we go. Write the word flowers on your communication card. Write the word flowers. We'll get a hold of you with your contact information so we can get a hold of you and get you signed up for that. You can help from 9 to 12 on June 1st on Saturday the 15th.
That's good. You were like rapping for a second. I liked it. I'm a fan. All right. Yeah, hey, can you guys go on our Point Church website for me really quick? So we have a really great news poll that I want to tell you about. And you've been hearing us talk about parables for like the last forever. But first of all, I just want to tell you, it's not too late to start a grow group. You can absolutely start a grow group anytime. But if you're new with us or if you just haven't had a chance to start, maybe the season is really that you want to plug into a grow group. I have a new tool on our website. You can join a group and you can actually filter out some attributes. So maybe you're looking for something on a Tuesday night. Maybe you need something with like childcare. You can actually choose the attributes and then it'll filter out the things you're looking for. So thank you guys. I appreciate it. But you can join the group from the website itself. So or you can come and see me, but it's a great new tool, so I wanted to tell you guys about it.
I thought it'd be fun with the click.
I like the clicks. I really thought that was from a computer, though, honestly. You did good.
That's really good.
Okay.
Hey, everything else in the message notes, let's pray. Hey, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for today, a chance to honor mothers. Just so amazing what they mean to us, what they've meant to us. We just thank you for that opportunity today just to say, Mom, thanks. We also want to say thank you, Jesus, your son, who was obedient to you, Lord. Just speak to us in a mighty way. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
You might have a mom, she might be the bomb, but ain't nobody got a mom like mine. Her love's till the end, she's my best friend. Ain't nobody got a mom like mine. She's my world.
The best mom in the world, and that I love you, and I just wanted to tell you how. Fantastic, Deanna. Well done, Ben. Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Hello.
I mean, how many guys have ever had a mom? Oh, okay, all right. We're all in on this thing. Hey, you know, before we get jumping into our parables series today, let's take a moment and thank God for our mothers. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Let's thank God for our moms, church. You know, dear God, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for our moms. We honor them today on Mother's Day because you, God, chose to give birth to each one of us through her. And we're here today because she went through the pain of labor and then the challenge of raising us. And so, Lord, I know for many of us here today, this day, Mother's Day, it's a difficult day. So would you comfort moms with heartache today? Would you comfort those who have broken relationships with their kids? Would you comfort those who have been hurt deeply by their child? Would you comfort those who've lost their moms? Would you comfort moms who have lost a child? Would you comfort stepmoms struggling to blend a family? Would you comfort those who want to be mothers, but it just hasn't happened yet? God, would you wrap your arms around these women and comfort them? You know, your word, God, it says that we are to mourn with those who mourn, but we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. And so we rejoice today. We also celebrate the moms in our church. We thank you, God, for women in our church who are carrying precious babies in their bodies right now. Give them healthy pregnancies. Give them safe deliveries. And God, we thank you for moms with brand new babies. Give those moms some sleep, God. Some rest. Oh. Thank you, God, for mothers of preschoolers. Would you grant them patience, God? Thank you, God, for mothers of grade schoolers, moms who pack lunches, play chauffeur, and forge through science projects and laundry baskets and make a juggle of jobs and parenting look easy. Would you grant them, God, kids who jump to obey them? God, thank you for mothers of teenagers. We're trying to figure out how to help their kids grow up, how to pass on responsibility, how to give good decision-making skills to these young kids. Would you grant them great wisdom, God? And God, we thank you too for moms who feel the pride of being in the empty nest stage. And thank you for grandmothers and great-grandmas and all that they do to help our families thrive. God, today we pray for our church families. On this Mother's Day, we commit ourselves to honoring, to loving, to protecting the mothers in our lives and in our church family. What a great idea you had, God. You gave us moms. And today, we pray your blessing on them in every way. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, we're going to jump one more time into the most famous of all parables, the parable of the prodigal son. This is easily one of Jesus' best stories ever. He's made it up, right? It's not a true story that didn't happen in the real world. It's a story that he's crafted. And remember, I've shared that we can easily misinterpret a parable if we don't know why Jesus told it. Remember, Jesus tells this story. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 says, this large crowd of sinners and tax collectors, they're gathered around Jesus. It's a bunch of outcasts, a bunch of people that would never, you know, set foot in a church. It's a bunch of people who are doing their own thing, and they're there listening into Jesus. And in the midst of that crowd, there's some Pharisees and some teachers of the law. And they're muttering under their breath, this Jesus, this guy, this man, he welcomes sinners and he eats with them. It's a criticism. And Jesus tells a trio of stories, three back to back to back, in the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, in an effort to show them it's not just the rule-breaking people that are far from God. It's not just this crowd of outcasts that are far from God. You rule-keeping Pharisees, you're far from him too. Remember, in this story, there's two sons, the younger rule-breaking prodigal son and the older rule-keeping brother. And the younger son, he wants his dad's money, but he doesn't want his dad. And the older brother's not any different. His father is celebrating one of the happiest days of his life. His prodigal son has come home. He's throwing this party. He's smiling ear to ear. And the older son, the rule follower, he doesn't even notice how happy his dad is. He's so upset. He doesn't notice his father's happiness. Instead, he just argues with his dad in public. Why is he so ticked? Well, his younger brother wants his inheritance before his father dies. So his father has to liquidate a bunch of his stuff, downsize the family, and it's absolutely shameful that it's occurred, and the brother's gone out and spent all the money on prostitutes. And now he's come home, and the older brother's like, yeah, he's going to get it now. He's going to get yelled at. Ooh. And the father doesn't yell. He runs, he hugs him, he kisses him, and he throws a party. He kills the fattened calf, like their best cow. And I know we have a hard time catching that, why that's a big deal, but they didn't have meat on the table like you and I did, or do. You know, we have it almost breakfast, lunch, dinner, meat's on our table. Back then, it's a delicacy. And so Jesus, in the crafting of this story, he's showing us this killing of a cow is like you and I hosting a party at the Ritz-Carlton. Right? It's just the biggest possible thing that this father could have done. It's huge. And this brother's mad because the cost of the party is coming out of his side of the inheritance. His brother's already taken his half and wasted it. Now he's having to pay for the party. He's like, Dad, are you kidding me? You've got to order 1,500 filet mignons? I mean, you've never even given me a goat pizza. What's up? He's ticked. He only cares about his dad's stuff. He doesn't care about his father's heart. And this is what Jesus is showing us. We got two sons here, one that's broken the rules, gutted the family fortune, and has kind of spent it all on awful things. And another one who's following the rules, obeying the father, doing the things that he should do, but he's hateful towards his father. Neither boy is close to their dad. Both just want to control their own life. One does it by running away. The other does it by staying home. And the rule breaker, the younger brother, realizes the error of his ways. He comes home. He repents. He receives his father's love. And the father says, verse 32, he was dead. And he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. He's saved. But the good son, the older son, the moral son, he's outside the party. He's angry. He refuses to go, and he's still lost. And what Jesus is doing is he's making the point that there are two ways to be lost. Right? There's two ways to be on the highway to hell here. One is to be very, 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 very bad. And the other is to be very, 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 very good. And if that startles you, you're in good company. Because most people don't grasp that goodness can damn you. Goodness can separate you. You see, the Bible teaches from cover to cover that if you depend on anything but Jesus for your salvation, you're not going to get into the party. You're not going to get in. And this older son, he's like, I'm a good kid. I've worked hard. I'm smart. I'm successful. I'm definitely better than my brother. Of course, I'm getting in the party. I don't need my father. I'm going in. And we do this all the time in our culture. We look at ourselves and we look at all the good stuff we've done. And we look at other people around us, the people in front of us, the people behind us. And we're like, I'm definitely getting in ahead of them. And Jesus says, you're wrong. And it's better to discover it today than discover it when it's too late and your be good plan is bust. You know, I'm talking to Todd backstage, and I go, Todd, it's so weird. It's Mother's Day, and I'm talking about a father and two sons. I mean, it's strange. And he goes, Ray, your mother would want to hear the story. Your mother would want you to tell the truth about it. Mothers always want to speak the truth in love, right? The mothers would just say it. And so, you know, I felt a little empowered. I'm like, okay, I get it now. Moms, man, they want to tell us the truth, and they want to tell it to us in love. And this is Jesus. He's engaging the Pharisees. He's telling the truth. He's telling it in a story, and he's telling it in love. And what I want to do today is I want to help you see what older brother lostness looks like. I want to help you experience what that might look like in your life. Because this idea of dying with a, you know, I'm going to be a good plan, it's a bust. I mean, Jesus, he doesn't just blow it up in this story. Look at Matthew 7. He says, when judgment day comes, many of you will say to me, Lord, Lord, in your name we spoke God's message. In your name we drove out demons. In your name we performed many miracles. And then I'm going to say, I never knew you. That's a stunner. Look carefully. Jesus is saying it is possible to never disobey God, but be utterly lost. It's possible to do a bunch of good stuff for God, be in church 24/7, and be eternally lost. And he's not talking about hypocrisy here. He's not talking about people that are hypocrites that are doing good stuff in front of people and bad stuff in private. No, we have to take Jesus at face value, and in his story, he crafts what this older brother says. He's making the story up, and he says, this older brother, this is verse 29, says, all these years I've never disobeyed your orders. Jesus is teaching that you can obey everything that God says and still be utterly lost. You can be involved in the Father's business, you can be obeying the Father's orders, but not be involved with the Father. Have no relationship. And that's what Jesus teaches. And it's a warning to us. And our problem is, we know what younger brother rule-breaking lostness looks like. That's a no-brainer, right? If you wake up tomorrow in a pigsty with an empty wallet and hungover with a bunch of STDs, you're a rule-breaker. Pretty easy to see it. But what does older brother lostness looks like? How do we identify that? How do we identify if we're suffering with older brother lostness? I mean, younger brothers are in the pigsty. Older brothers are in church. They're reading the Bible, they're praying, they're doing the right things, but Jesus says they're lost. And in this story, he begins to give signs of what older brother lostness looks like. And what I want you to do today is kind of imagine your mother sitting next to you. And as you hear these signs, he gives you a bunch, but I'm going to give the top three signs. And as you hear these signs of older brother lostness, imagine your mom sitting next to you. Which one does she elbow you on? Which one does she say, oh, that's you? Because you know, our moms would want us to hear the truth in love. Here's the first sign of older brother lostness. It's right here in verse 28. The older brother becomes angry and he refused to go in the home. He's angry, he's mad. And you see, if you think your goodness and your decency and your hard work means that God owes you a good life, you're going to be mad a lot. Because life doesn't go that way. How many of you guys have discovered that if you do a bunch of good stuff, bad stuff still can happen to you? Right? And you're going to be absolutely livid. You're going to be mad if you think you do a bunch of good stuff, God owes you a bunch of good stuff. It doesn't work like that. You see, there's this undertow of anger in his life. In fact, that's the first sign. Would you write it down? That I have an undertow of anger. I love that word undertow. It's so Californian. You know, when When I grew up in California, my buddies and I would go to OB, Ocean Beach. It's at the west end of Golden Gate Park. We would never go to surf or to swim. If you go to OB, you just go to lay out in the sun or play beach volleyball or do stuff on the sand because you do not get in the water. Every local knows this. Because if you get in the water at Ocean Beach, the waves, they look normal. They come in normal. They look like any other wave on any other beach. But the waves at Ocean Beach have beneath the surface an undertow. And it will just suck you out. If you go swimming at Ocean Beach, you better learn to speak Japanese because it's going to take you a long way from shore. This is the older brother's life. It looks normal. He's a hardworking, successful guy. He does the right things. He's a moral person. To everybody on the surface, he looks normal. But beneath the surface, there's an undertow of anger in his life, constantly pulling him away from relationships. And if you see this in your life, it's a sign of older brother lostness creeping up and lurking in you. He's got this image that everything's okay, that I do the right things, I obey the rules. But he's mad all the time. He's ticked off at the whole the time. He's so mad he can't even see when his dad is happy. Look, his dad's in party mode, but he's just complaining. Verse 29, you never even gave me a young goat, but you kill the fattened calf for him? See the complaint? I never even got a goat. He gets the prize cow? Are you kidding me? I'm a better person. I deserve better. Listen. If you've ever felt like this, the misery that you're experiencing is not coming from the circumstance. It's coming from the way that you see it. You're seeing that all your good work, all of the stuff that you do well, means that God owes you good things. And if you've been a believer and you're truly following Jesus, you know, often God will bring problems into our life to shape our character and to prepare us for great things. But this older brother doesn't see it like that. He says, God, my father, look at me. I'm better than him. You owe me a good life. That's his attitude. And there's an undertow of anger in him. Now here's the second sign of older brother lostness, this rule-following lostness lurking in your life. It's here in verse 29. This older brother, he answers his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Never disobeyed your orders. Underline slaving and orders. In fact, underline it like that, slaving, right? So he feels slaving. Well, I mean, these two words are dead giveaways. What do they tell us about the relationship between this father and son? The son doesn't feel like a son. He feels like a slave. He feels like he's been inscripted in the military, right? I'm just following orders. It has nothing to do with a relationship. I'm just doing what the guy says. He's in charge. I got to do it. You've been in the military? That's what he's thinking. I'm just in. And it's the second sign of older brother lostness lurking in your life. There's this obey-hate relationship that you've got going on with God. You obey him, but you hate it. You obey him, but you can't stand it. You see, it's the difference between a rule follower and a Christian. Both are doing the will of God. I mean, in fact, the rule follower is probably doing a better job of the will of God. But the why is not there. In a Christian's life, they know, well, yeah, I'm supposed to do the will of God, but it's really the why that matters to God. Why am I doing it? It's like this. When I was in college, my professor would assign me stacks of books to read. Anybody have teachers that assign them stacks of books? They're never the books you want to read. They're the books you've got to read. And so I read the books because I wanted to pass the course. And I wanted to pass the course because I wanted to get a degree. And I wanted to get a degree so I could get into a good grad school. And I wanted to get a good grad school so I could get a good job. So basically, I read books to make money, you know? But I find a peculiar thing has happened in my life. Today, I will take money and buy books. I used to have to read. Now I want to read. And reading has become its own reward. This is the same thing going on with obedience. This older son, he feels like he has to obey. But a Christian goes, I get to obey. You see the difference? It's huge. It's Psalm 1:2. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. Who's blessed? Not the guy who's like, I got to go to church. I got to read the Bible. I got to preach. I got to do this stuff. No, it's the Christian who delights in reading it. They don't have to read it. They want to read it. It's Psalm 119:103, a verse that the older brother could have never, ever said. Imagine him saying this to his dad. Oh, Dad, how sweet is the taste of your instructions. I can't wait to be ordered around by you. That's not him at all. He hates the orders. He hates it. He hates it. He hates it. He hates it. But a believer goes, man, I love this. I'm getting instructions from the creator of the universe. The older brother's like, look, I work for you. You give me stuff. That's how it works. That's not a relationship. That's a job. But that's how he's treating his father. And a Christian, he treats his father like, man, I'm going to obey you because I love you. I want to obey you. I want to make you happy. I want to honor you. Listen, one way you can kind of tell if this obey-hate thing is lurking in your life, this older brother lostness, think about the last three prayers you prayed. Think about it for a second. It may take a little while. Maybe you haven't prayed in a while. Think about the last three times you talked to God. Were those prayers like an adult version of a kid's Santa Claus list? God, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Do this for me, don't do that. I don't want to have this happen. God, please make sure I pass this test. Was it like a laundry list of wants and needs? Or did you go to God and go, God, man, you're amazing. You're in total control of the world, and I get to talk to you. Was there adoration in your prayer? Was there respect and honor in your prayer? Was it just a laundry list of stuff where God's kind of like a vending machine that you try to get stuff out of? Listen, if that's the way you pray, you're going to develop this obey-hate relationship with God, and prayer is going to be a grind. There's not going to be any joy to it. It's going to feel like, ah, yeah, I got to pray again because I need this stuff. And then you're going to be mad because you're not going to get it. It's obey, hate, obey, hate, obey, hate. I got to obey, but I hate doing it. A Christian, they obey because they love God, not because they want stuff. So there may be an older brother lostness lurking in you if there's this undertow of anger in your life. And your mom may be elbowing you on that one. Kind of get a little angry a lot. There may be this older brother lostness in you if there's this obey-hate relationship. Is there an elbow on that one? Do you feel it? Here's the third sign that older brother lostness. And again, there's many more, but I just give you the top ones. Verse 30. This older brother is yelling at his dad, kind of in the backyard where the neighbors could hear. And he says, when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, underline this son of yours. What is that about? What is that attitude about? It's about shame. That's what it's about. You see, an Eastern culture in which this was written, an Eastern culture is very different than our Western culture. In the West, we operate on guilt and reward. That's how we operate. In the East, it's shame and honor. You want the honor. If somebody shames you in the East, the way you get it back is you seek revenge. Now, who has shamed this family? The younger brother has shamed the family. The dad has had to have a huge yard sale, sell half his stuff. They've had to downsize the family estate. Right? Half the stuff is gone. The neighbors know. Everybody's like, hey, did you see what's happening over at that house? Oh, my goodness. The younger son's asking for his dad to sell his stuff. I mean, he's supposed to die first, right, before you get an inheritance. Why, you hear what's happening over there? They're being shamed. The whole neighborhood knows. And the older brother, he can't go get his revenge. He can't get honor back because the person who's shaming him is inside the family. And the person who's shaming him is his father. His father's doing whatever his younger brother wants. It's shameful. And so he can't get revenge, so he's trying to distance himself from this family, this crazy, shameful, dishonored family in the neighborhood. Instead of saying, Dad, my younger brother ran off and spent all of our money, he didn't say that. He says, this son of yours runs off. It's not anything to do with me. It's this son of yours. It's a distancing there. It's happening. You see it right in the text. He wants nothing to do with him. It's like he completely doesn't get that his father is a father of grace. You know, there's this wonderful passage in the book of Ephesians where Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, for it is by grace you are saved. Grace is a free gift to God. It's by grace you are saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. Even the very faith that you have to believe in God comes from God. It's for grace you are saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You don't get it by works. If you did get it by works, you could boast about it. Hey, I did better works than you. But it's a gift. How can you boast about it? It came completely free to you. And the older brother doesn't get this. He thinks I've got to work for my salvation, but you cannot work for it. It comes as a gift. He thinks if I work hard, then my father's obligated to let me in. And if you don't work hard, well, then you're scum. And that's what he thinks of his younger brother. And I tell you, if you dare ask one of these older brother Christians if they're really a Christian, oh, they're going to go off on you. What? Of course I'm a Christian. How dare you ask that? You're probably not even a Christian if you don't know me, that I'm a Christian. I mean, that's their attitude. They feel superior. In fact, here's one way you can know that maybe you suffer from this air of superiority. That's really the third sign. If you haven't written this down, it's having this air of superiority about you, that you feel better than everybody else. And when you look at other classes of people, economic classes or races of people, or different faces of people, and you feel better than them, that's evidence of older brother lostness, of being a rule follower, of thinking somehow you're going to get in because you're good enough, because nobody else is good enough. And you're constantly putting people down so that you can fill up, because here's the truth about you. You're never sure where you stand with your Heavenly Father. It's the truth about the older son. He's never once sure where he stands with his dad. I've been slaving for you. I've been following your orders. What's he saying? He's saying, look, I've been doing everything right, and I still don't feel like we have a relationship. Right? There's no assurance. There's no confidence that there is anything happening, that there's a father-son relationship happening. And if this is how you approach God, I'm going to follow a bunch of rules, you will never have the confidence that you're really in the kingdom of God, that you're really in the party. You'll never have it. You'll constantly be wondering, am I good enough? Have I done enough? I've slaved this much. Can I do any more? It's a weird thing. One, you're absolutely unsure of where you stand with the Father. But two, you're real sure of where everybody else stands. that you're constantly going, well, I'm better than them, so I know they're not getting in. I know I'm ahead of that person. I know I'm ahead of this person. You're constantly looking at your good works and all the stuff that you're doing. And it causes you to have this air of superiority where you think everybody else is beneath you. That guy couldn't be a Christian. But you're real sure, well, you're unsure of even yourself. Listen, if you're a sinner saved by grace and you know Jesus and you know what he did, here's two things that happen for you. One, you have a confidence because your entrance into heaven is not based on what you have done, but on what Jesus has done. And you know Jesus is perfect. And so you're going, wow, Jesus is, his perfection's getting in. I don't have to base it on me getting in based on what I do. And so you have this confidence that you're getting in. And you have this incredible graciousness towards people that screw up. Because you know, that was me not too long ago. And so you have this real kindness towards people that you mess up and that look like the prodigal son, look like this younger brother. You go, yep. There, but for the grace of God, go I. That used to be me. Jesus died for me, died for them too. I want them in the party. But if you're an older brother, you want the party to be exclusive. You only want your friends to be there. Younger brothers, they're like, man, I got in. I'm so glad I got in. Jesus saved me. I'm sure he could save you because I've been much worse than you. It's a completely different picture. Catch this. The older brother's told in verse 7, he's not even reached the house, and he's like, what's going on at the house? And one of his buddies says, hey, your father's killed the fattened calf because he has got your younger prodigal son, brother, back home safe and sound. And none of us really understand the scope of this in the story because none of us have ever had an entire cow on our grill. Can you imagine that? Putting a huge heifer on the grill? I love to grill. I can't imagine, right, butchering a cow on my deck and trying to get it up on the grill. I know this, if I ever did it, I'm going to need to set out more plates. It's just crazy. It's more food than a neighborhood could eat. It's so much. And we don't grasp this, that what's happened now is this party has spilled over into the whole neighborhood. It's not just your family that's coming. It's everybody that's coming, even the people who have been talking badly about you. You know, the neighbors. Some of you have nosy neighbors. You know what I'm talking about? The neighbors are like, oh, you see what's happened over that house? Father sold half their stuff. I mean, downsized all that kind of stuff and gave that money to that kid. He was living like his dad wasn't even alive, out partying. He heard he was prostitutes. And man, what an idiot that dad was. And then they're going, oh, what a double idiot it was. He's throwing this party. This kid's come home, and the dad's attitude's not to whoop him, not to beat him, not to throw him out. I'd throw him out. But the father is acting so different than what we would expect. The father goes, let's have a party. Because that's what grace is. Grace is exactly the opposite of what you would expect. Grace is overspilling. It overspills to the neighbors. And this father, he catch this party. Listen to the description of it. It says, when the older son came near the house, he hears music and dancing. Right? The place is thumping. He's not even there yet, and he's hearing the sound of a celebration. And then the father's killed the fattened calf, and so he's smelling like barbecue ribs. Oh my goodness, right? It's an amazing thing. And they're celebrating. We've got music, we got dancing, we got food, the whole subdivision's there, everybody's there, but who? The older brother. I'm gonna come in. You see why older brothers are judging people? A true Christian goes, "Ah, it's a judgment-free zone." A true Christian goes, "Hey, you know, you don't believe what I believe, but want to eat? I got ribs. We're dancing. Listen, maybe I can't convert you, but it doesn't mean I can't eat with you. Are you hungry? Come on in." That's what true faith looks like. And that's the point of Jesus' story. Remember why he told it. He told it because some do-good, righteous, you know, morally pure, pharisaical guys were looking at Jesus hanging around with a bunch of sinners and saying, this guy eats with sinners. He welcomes them. And Jesus goes, sure do. And I even pick up the tab for the party. That's me. But the Pharisees don't like it. And so Jesus goes, well, by your own choice, you don't get to dance. You don't get the rib. You won't come in. Let me sum this up. What if one or two or three of these signs of older brother lostness are lurking in your life? What if you've kind of felt the virtual elbow in the ribs of your mother today on one of those? What do you do? Before I answer that, let me say two quick things. One, in every church, there are people who are here every week. They're reading their Bible. They're praying. They're serving. They're giving. And you can look at their life, and you can see there's this undertow of anger. They're obeying, but they hate it. You can see that they're looking down their noses with this air of superiority. And if you see that, let me tell you, you or I have no right to point it out. No, we have no right to say something. That's why it's super helpful to dive into a story like this of Jesus so that each one of us can examine our own lives and see. You know, the Bible describes what a Christian ought to look like. Does that describe my life? Am I a description of what a believer looks like? Or do I look like an older brother? And some of us, we've been in church for years, and we're feeling that little nudge in the ribs going, maybe that sign's true of me. That sign's true of me. Maybe everything that I've read in the Bible, I'm not doing. Maybe I'm missing out. Today I'm going to come to my senses. Today I'm going to realize the Father is running out to hug me, to love me, just like he did for that prodigal son, and that my older brother wants me in, not like that older brother, but like the true older brother, Jesus. He's paying for the party. Today I'm going to come to my senses and realize that. You see, you and I, as we think about our own lives, we can recognize that about ourselves, but other people pointing that out to us, it's not going to work so well. Here's the second thing I would say before I answer the question. What do you do if one of these signs is present? Sometimes in our lives, if you're a true believer, this older brotherness, this sense of lostness will creep back into your life, and you'll gain this air of superiority. You'll start to obey God, but you hate it. You'll start to have this undertow of anger in your life. And if that's you, you know you're a believer, but man, this stuff has seemed to be true of you. Look at the vulnerability of Jesus. Let me tell you what I mean. Look at the story. Note that the conversation between the older son and the dad is not just between the older son and the dad. Jesus is not just giving us the dialogue in his story. Notice, we are actually hearing Jesus himself pleading with his enemies, the Pharisees, the guys who are going to kill him. And what does he do when his enemies curse him? Does he curse back? What does he do when he mutters under their breath? Does he mutter back? Does he just lay him out? No. Verse 28, he's telling them the story, but he's also in the story describing how he behaves. The father went out and pleaded, underline pleaded, with the older brother. Listen to the kindness in the voice. Yes, my son, you've been working so hard. Yes, you've done so, so hard. Yes, you've been struggling and you've been doing your best. You've been slaving. You've been trying to do everything I've said. You hear the pleading in the voice there? What's Jesus doing in this story? Well, one hand, right, he's giving him a sharp elbow to the ribs. Right, in one hand, he's saying, look, you think there are two groups of lost people. You think there's two groups of people, the good people and the bad people. No, there's just one. They're just lost people. And you can't recognize that you're lost. So how are you going to get found? You won't admit that you're far from God. So how are you going to get connected? You think God owes you based on all your good stuff, but you don't recognize. It doesn't work like that. It's by grace. And if you think this brotherness is creeping up in you, you've got to recognize what he's saying here. You've got to hear Jesus speak to you the way he's speaking to these Pharisees. He's coming with an elbow, but he's coming kindly. He's coming with affirmation, saying, look, I plead with you, get it, understand it. What it is it's Romans 5:8, really in a nutshell. This verse says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. How? While we were yet sinners. While we were spitting in the face of God, while we were saying, God, I'm going to take control of my life. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to live how I want to live without any of your interference. I'm going to take control of my life. While we were having that kind of attitude towards God, Christ died for us. You see what the cross says to me is it says, Ray, you are so messed up. You are such a sad sack. You are a complete and utter mess. So much so that the only way, Ray, you're ever going to get saved is if God himself sent his only son to die for you. That's your only hope, Paris. And Jesus says, I'll gladly do that. That's the gospel. And when you hear Jesus say, look, I want to take care of this. You're trying to earn your way in, but I've already earned it for you. When you finally get it, it's been earned for you by Jesus, and you just receive it as a gift. That's what to do about all those signs. You say, what have I been doing all this for? Jesus has done it, but it is hard when this older brother lostness is in your life. It's hard when you've developed this undertow of anger because your mood is already set against it. It's hard when you've got this pride, this air of superiority, this obey-hate relationship with God. It's hard to come to your senses because you already feel good enough. And Jesus' message to these Pharisees is, you're not. You're not good enough. And you're never going to be good enough. But I'm good enough. I'll pay for the party. You don't have to crash in. You don't have to think I owe you. Just come on in. You know, Jesus, he does this inside-outside thing. It's amazing. He takes this boy who is an outsider, right? Who took his dad's money. It went on the run, spent it on illicit sex, and then this outsider in the story is brought inside the family. And he takes this insider, this older brother, this rule follower, this good moral son, and he puts him outside. And this is the gospel. This is it in a nutshell. Jesus, I mean, he was the ultimate insider. He was in the Trinity. You can't get any more inside than the Trinity. And he goes where? All the way to the outside. To the cross, where on the cross he says, my Father, why have you forsaken me? He's as far away as you can possibly go. Why? Why does Jesus go from the ultimate inside to the ultimate outside? He goes there because he wants to reach you and I who are on the outside and bring us inside. That's the gospel. That's what he's doing. And that's what this story depicts. And it says something to us as individuals that Jesus wants you in on the party. And it says something to us as a church, that we ought to be a church that looks like the complaint of the Pharisees. We're a church that welcomes and eats with sinners. We're a church that rolls out the red carpet for the least, the lost, and the lonely. We're a church that looks at broken, beat up, down in the mouth people and looks at them as if we're looking in the mirror at ourselves. And we said, come on in, because it's a big party, and there's plenty for you. And he let me in, so I'm sure He'll let you in. That's the heart of the gospel. And that ought to be the heart of our church, that we look for the least, the lost, and the lonely, and we say, come on in. And we never look down our noses and go, oh, and I live a good life. How in the world could they possibly show up? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this incredible story. It really just ties up the gospel and helps us to understand not just what you did for us, but your motive for doing it. That you're the God of the party. That you're the God that throws a feast so large that there's food enough for everyone. May we, God, as a church, just set out the plates. May we, God, be a church that constantly thinks of people that are far from you and doesn't look down our nose, but simply invites them in wherever they are and reaches them. And God, may we even embody your criticism. If people want to say, well, that's a place that just has a bunch of sinners, may that be us. Because that's what our heart is. We want to help people find and follow your Son. And we want this older brother lostness in us completely put aside. Because you are the God that loves us lost. But whether we're lost in our goodness or we're lost in our badness, we're lost. And you love us. And you want us in the party. Help us, God, to recognize that today. And maybe today you've recognized it in you and you felt the rib punch of your mother going, that's you. Well, today, the scripture says, come to your senses. Understand God loves you and Jesus has picked up the tab. He's done all the good stuff. You don't have to do a bunch of good stuff to get into heaven. You just need to know the one who did. Today, would you reach out to Christ and say, Jesus, come into my life. Change me from the inside out. I've been outside and I want in. Would you make that your prayer today? Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. Bring me from the outside in. Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers. We pray them knowing they'll bring honor and glory to you. And you are a God that's worthy of that. For you're a Father who throws an immense party and invites everyone. Thank you, God, for modeling that for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. It's been a fun, fun parable. And next week, we start a pair of parables. It talks about the cost of following Jesus. You got to count that, Jesus says. And we can't wait to dive into that one next week. Hey, today, if you know your next step of faith is baptism, you've never been baptized, but you know, hey, I've followed Jesus. I've made this private decision. I need to go public. Would today you leave this service, go right through those double doors and turn around at the information counter and say, look, I'm ready to be baptized. I know Jesus says the first thing I need to do, I'm ready to do it. Would you let them know? They'll get you the information you need. Next week, we're going to have baptism service. It's going to be fantastic as we celebrate people's public decisions for Jesus Christ. Hey, I hope you have a fantastic day celebrating Mother's Day. And I hope you've gotten information on our grow groups. You know, if you haven't grabbed the materials yet, do that. Gather some friends, study together, or go online and find a group that you'd like to belong to. It's not too late to get started on that. Hey, this is also an opportunity for us as a church to give. And our ushers are taking their places. And we're going to receive our offering because really, here's what it is. We care about our community, and we need resources to be able to reach them, and you're an incredibly generous church. If you're a guest today, though, please be our guest. We literally wouldn't have you come over to dinner at our house and then present you a check. We're a church. We've invited you. We're so glad that you're here, but this is the opportunity for those who, this is their house, this is their church, to take care of the tab, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to help people find and follow Jesus, and those who call this their church say, look, I'm in full support of that. Deanna, would you lead us as we pray for our offering this morning and we receive it?
Lord God, thank you for who you are. We praise you for your power and your wonder, your grace, your mercy, what you did for us. Lord, you sent your Son, your one and only Son, to die for us. You sacrificed, and you are the biggest giver. So God, we've worshiped you. We've worshiped you through song and through the hearing of your word, and now we're just going to worship you through giving abundantly. You love a cheerful giver. So God, take these gifts. Take them back. Use them for your glory, your honor, Lord, we give to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As the ushers receive the offering, I just want to invite you, if you are new with us, just a reminder, please, we want to meet you. Fill out that communication card and see us at the VIP desk to pick up your gift. It's not too late to start a grow group. Not too late. So if you're still looking, if God's been telling you, hey, grab some materials, grab some friends, and do a study and grow deeper in my word, then please pop it on your communication card, turn it in to the baskets, because I want to know and I want to call you and encourage you. And if you're not, you know, if you're in a season where you're just not ready to start a group, but you want to join in on a current study, please hop online and go to that Grow Group Finder tool. It's a great resource for you to just plug in. You can join it right then. You don't have to ask anybody. You just do it. So I'm excited for you to be able to do that. We do have materials still right outside in the gathering. And by popular, you know, request, we have t-shirts available as well. They're really snazzy black Parables t-shirts and the blue. So we've got like a little combo that we can grab there for you. Make sure that you're sharing the service on Facebook as well. It went live second service, and God is doing some great things through Facebook ministry. I can't even tell y'all all of it. I don't have the time, but it's very, very cool. So be sure that you're sharing that. We're going to wrap up here in just a few minutes.